said, tweet our prayer. Last Lord's Day, I began a series, whether you know it or not. And that series is on prayer. Because it isn't in your hands or my hands what happens in this world or any aspects. It all is in the hands of Almighty God. But we know that God has got to have a people who understand His faithfulness and are determined to lay things before the great throne of grace, seeking help in time of need. This country is in time of need. The world is in time of need. Your personal life may be in a time of need. And you need to be able to understand this. The principle last week was very simple. It is the prayer of the humble that God hears. We gave the illustration, if you remember, of the Pharisee and the tax collector going into the synagogue before God. The Pharisee started to brag and boast upon himself and how good he was and how glad he wasn't like all the other people of the world and how he was so happy he wasn't like that tax collector. And all that tax collector was doing over there was beating his chest. God, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. How many of you here today are sinners? And are continuously in need of the washing and the cleansing and the confessing of our sins before God that we can be cleansed from our unrighteousness. Do you really believe that there is a God in heaven that loves you? Do you believe that He is good? And that He wants to manifest His goodness to His people, His children? And that He really wants to give you the desires of your heart? The desires of your heart. If you remember the text we read today, it used the word desire. What does it mean to desire? Well, to hope for or long for, to crave, to express a wish or to ask for or to want. In other words, you have to have a strong desire and a longing and a wanting and a craving and a wish. It is a absolute wanting within the heart of your life and your soul. And you know that the only source of that desire to be fulfilled is God fulfilling it. Whatever it is that one desires, it does and will continue to grow within the context of one's heart. It's like the oak tree that comes and sprouts out from a little acorn and begins to grow. And that desire can become so strong and so sweet that it warms the very aspect of your personal life and my life and our whole being. And when you pray and you beseech God for it, your petition is fulfilled. Your petition will be fulfilled if you truly humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. When it comes to a point that you hear what the psalmist said this morning in Psalms 37, which we're going to look at. But listen to these words. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Proverbs 13:19. Desire realized is sweet to the soul. Psalms 10:17. O Lord, You have heard the desire of the humble. You will strengthen their heart and You will incline your ear. Psalms 37:4, our text. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, all those verses in there for just the reading? Or does the Bible mean what it says? Does God say things for you and I just to look at them and say, well, that sounds good, you know? But think about it. Desire. What is desire? Well, it's to take great pleasure in something. It is extremely wanting and desiring the aspect of the satisfaction of that which one is desiring. Yesterday at our dinner, a lady brought some rhubarb pie. And I hadn't had rhubarb pie in a long time. But I went over and looked at them. I smelled it and whatever. I guarantee you, the desire in my heart grew for that pie. And when I took of it and I ate it, it was far beyond my dream and imagination. I savored it. I mean, it was good. Now, think about it for a minute. We have a God who's created everything out of nothing. He spoke it into existence. The Creator. This is the one to whom you pray. This is the one who you have as your continual giving of life. Because the Bible says, in Him we move and we have our being. When you became a Christian, He became your Father. You become one of His children. You were born again into the family of God. You weren't born by flesh or by the power or the will of man, but you were born again through the power of God intact, bringing you into His family and giving you that beautiful name in order that you might wear the name that represents Him, and that name is Christian, Christ one, in that you have become a part of the family of God. Jesus is your brother. He is your brother. He's your advocate. He's your high priest. He's your savior. He's every aspect of your being. And the thing that comes clear to me is that in order for God to exalt Him, Jesus had to empty Himself. He had to humble Himself. That's what humility means. So you have a Father in heaven that wants to give you the desires of your heart. But listen to what the text said as we continue this morning. Not only does He delight in yourself by giving you the desire, Psalms 145, verse 16 and following, listen to what it says. This is what He says. Are you listening? You do open your hand, and you do satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all of His deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all that love Him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. Are you still with me? Are you hearing those words? Do you hear what He's saying? The aspects of human desire, as it is in the aspects of our life, I believe those desires can only be fulfilled by God. In every aspect of it. When man begins to try to find fulfillment and satisfaction of his desire in the world sense of the way, he will be destroyed. It will corrupt him. And the ultimate is out of that will come evil. So as we look at our text this morning again, there are some very important words here. Very important. We have to hear them. I've gone over this and over this and over this. I've examined my heart and my soul and my life and my prayer life. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Listen to what he says. Are you listening? Psalm 37. Look at what it says. Open your Bibles. I want you to see it. And I'll give you the page here in just a minute. Verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers. What does it say? It says, don't fret. Don't be worried. Don't be overcome. Don't be fearful about all the wrongdoers that are in the world. Now, what it's saying? Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. Why would you not fret? Because, he says, they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. That's what will happen to them. And hasn't that happened to all those in the past generations of time. Or you might read of Hitler, you might hear of Stalin, you might hear of Pilate and all those men, and their names may be there, but they have faded. They have withered. They are not a part of our lives today, and they have and are going to be judged by God. Don't fret. Do not fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. Okay? That's what it says. Do not fret. Why? Verse 3, trust in the Lord, right? Trust in the Lord and what? Sit around, don't do anything. You've heard my sermons. I preach and preach. I preach a series on doing what is right. Be actively involved out there in life. Do good. Be about going about. Do good. Do good. Do good. Do good. Do good. It isn't what people do to you and what they do for you. The Bible says, do unto others. Do unto others. And we're the active force of the world today. And the reason this world is succumbing is because God's people are sitting back doing nothing. We can complain, we can fret, we can worry, we can get all upset, and we can talk about all these evil people on the face of the earth. That is not your focus. That is not what you're concerned about. You are focused upon a God in heaven who knows and is in control of the universe, and God's people need to humble themselves under His mighty hand, and we need to be praying to God to save us from what's going on. Period. Period. I believe that if some of us would spend as much time on our knees praying to God and sincerely trusting Him, that a lot more would be accomplished rather than sitting around grumbling, complaining, and moaning about what's going on the face of the earth today. That's all I hear. And then it says, what does it say? Don't be envious of them. Isn't that amazing how you and I can live in this world and we can be envious of those people out there that are prospering? Right? There's other passages I could have shared with you this morning on that. Maybe you do yourself a favor if you look up the word envy or envious and just look at how many times God warns you and me of being envious of those who are rich, who are prospering, etc., etc., etc. Because it warns us over and over again, don't be envious of those people who are rich and prospering in this world today. Your treasure isn't to be laid up down here. You're to be laying up your treasures in heaven where rust, moth, and thieves don't break through and steal, etc., etc. Okay? Don't be envious of them. What does he say? Trust in the Lord and do what? Fearing. Do good. Fearing. Trust in the Lord, do good, and dwell in the land and cultivate faithfully. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the what? The desires of your heart. How many of you really take pleasure in your relationship with God? You get up every morning delighting that it's another day that you're going to walk with the Lord and He's going to walk with you. And that He's going to fulfill that day with His presence and with His faithfulness to you as your Father. So how many of your day get up and you're fretting another day? You know, the old saying is, you either get up saying, good Lord, it's morning, or you get up and say, good morning, Lord. It is a good morning. Because your attitude will be determined by what you go to sleep on. Do you know that? How many of you quote Psalms 23 before you go to sleep? Marilyn, how often do I do that? The Lord is my shepherd. What does it say? I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still, quiet waters. You know what it says? He leads me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. I mean, quote it. Quote it. And then believe the words. Accept the aspects of what it is saying, that if you trust in the Lord and that He is your shepherd, He's going to guide you and direct you, then the first thing is that you understand He's there to satisfy your needs and your desires. Do good, call upon Him in truth, And then it says again, commit your way to the Lord, verse 5. Trust also in Him and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait. What? Oh man, it says what? And wait. What does your Bible say? Wait patiently for Him. Oh, wait a minute. Here it goes again. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger, forsake wrath. Do not, what? Fret. It leads only to what? Evil doing. The more you and I fret, the more you and I are going to take things in our own hands, and the more you and I are going to make choices, and we're going to make decisions that are going to bring many negatives into our individual lives. Why? Because we didn't wait upon the Lord to fulfill the desires, to hear our prayers, and to do what He's capable of doing. Do you hear it? Proverbs 10:24, the desires of the righteous will be granted. You believe God hears your prayers? Do you believe He cares? The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Why? Because He cares for you. The Bible says, be anxious for... Oh, whatever. Be anxious for nothing. But in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. We're accompanied with thanksgiving. Don't you know what the Bible says? And the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Brother, we're living in a world where you need that kind of peace. The peace that Jesus gives, not the world. Because the world can't give you any peace. It really can't. But then there's a point of attitude that you and I should have. How many of you rejoice when somebody else rejoices? How many of you take joy when somebody else is really blessed in the kingdom of God? When one of your brothers or sisters are really blessed by God, how many of you just really take joy in seeing God fulfill their needs and their desires, etc.? You know what Psalms 24 and 5 says? Well, listen, because you're going to hear it. May He grant you your heart's desires and fulfill all your counsel. This is David praying for his people. This should be your attitude towards your brothers and sisters in Christ. I meet daily. I meet with people. I pray to God to fulfill their needs and their desire. I pray to a Father that I believe that in His time, He will do what He promises He will do. Not in my time, not in your time, but in His time. And I pray, and I pray and pray for God to grant you your heart's desire and fulfill your counsel. We will sing together for joy. I can't wait. I want to be joyful when I see God blessing your life. I want to be joyful when I see Him doing and helping you to overcome. He goes on, we will sing for joy over your victory. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banner. May the Lord fulfill all your petition. That's the attitude we ought to have toward one another. We ought to be praying for God to bless everyone in this body, that He'd hear their needs and their joys and their desires, and that God would grant all their petition. And we ought to wave a banner. Praise be to God for all the great things He has done in the life of the people here at Grand Ledge. Praise the Lord. He is good to all of us. Oh, why did God grant them? What's so much better about them than me? Why doesn't He do for me what He's doing for them? What makes them so good and so better? Oh, is that a wrong attitude? Think about it, okay? Think about it. I pray to God He will fulfill the desires of your heart, that He'll hear your petition and He'll grant them, and that we can take joy together and rejoice and sing because of His doing it. The text says in verse 37 and 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know any situation in the Old Testament when somebody received a direct promise from God and they decided to take things in their own hands? Abraham and Sarah? Thank you. Yeah, they wanted to run ahead of God. They thought, well, I'll help him out. Because God promised us a son. So Sarah convinced Abraham to take Hagar and have a child by him. And you know what the end result was, don't you? The hazardous, unbelievable, horrendous result of God taking steps and going ahead of God rather than waiting on God to fulfill his promise. Isn't that what happened? And look at the end results. And how many times have we done the same thing? We've done the same thing. And we've taken the situation into our own hands. And we made choices and decisions, and horrendous results occurred. Wait upon the Lord. And he will deliver you. You know what it says? How many of you know Isaiah 40, verse 31? Can you quote it? Lloyd and Nancy bought me this big banner. I have it as I go into the bathroom, hanging there on the wall. Isaiah. This is what he said. Those who wait upon the Lord will be renewed in their strength. They will become like eagles and mount up with the wings like an eagle. They shall run and not grow tired. They shall walk and not grow weary. How about you? Are you tired? Life wearing you down? Or have you learned the aspects that there is a Father, a God who loves you, and that what you and I need to do is trust him? Trust him. Make sure that I'm humble. Make sure that I don't have an attitude of fret and complaining and murmuring. Make sure that I take joy in God moving in the lives of other people, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and blessing them, and that I can take joy in that. And don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. Don't fret. Why? What does it do? It leads to doing evil. Okay? So all of our desires must be God first, God second, God third, God fourth, God everything, right? That's our desire. Our desire should be for God. Not for things, not for what this world has to offer. If you and I have more focus on our desires than we do our God, then those desires become our God. And when they're not fulfilled, and they're not fulfilled, and they're not fulfilled, I guarantee you, you will fall under the aspects of what happens and occurs when God cannot bless you because he desires. God must be first. Foremost, that's my desire. My desire is that my Father in heaven will grant to you this morning every desire that you have in your heart. And we're going to show and express all of these aspects and how it succumbs to us through prayer. Through prayer. God has opened the door for you and I to approach the throne. But you don't go telling him what he's going to do. And you don't go arguing and cursing him because he doesn't do what you think he should be doing and when he should be doing it, because that leads, according to the text, to anger. Have you been angry at God? Have you got all upset with him? In every aspect of your being? Is that what's happened in your heart? Because God hasn't fulfilled and done what you think he ought to do, the way he should, you think he ought to do it, and when you think he ought to have done it. Wow, that says a lot, doesn't it? Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. May we take the admonition of Psalms 27:14. Psalms 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Page 1. Of sermon number 2 that deals with prayer. The first one was that we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to empty ourselves of self. the id of psychology world needs to go. Forget about you. Forget about you. And put God first in your life. Get yourself out of His way. Die daily. Let Christ live in you. Become a living aspect of that eternal being. And if you have any desire, if you have any desire at all, then let this be your desire. All right? Here, if you will. Let this be your desire. Let this be the real, true aspect of your desire, that it will fulfill the aspect and the pleasures of your heart. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, my desire, to be like Him all through life's journey, from earth to glory. My desire to be like Him. Shouldn't have any other desire. You should want to be like Jesus, who humbled Himself in Gethsemane and all the other aspects and became obedient. And then God highly exalted Him, gave Him a name above every name. If you know this chorus, you can sing it with me one more time. But let this be your prayer. Let it be your heartfelt as you stand with me to be like Jesus. Here we begin. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, my desire to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, my desire to be like Him. Father in heaven, I thank You that You love us. You're a faithful Father. You look into our hearts and You examine them daily. I pray, Father, You will find us to be Your children, who have humbled ourselves, who have emptied ourselves, and that we can indeed bring before You the desires of our hearts and know that, God, You delight in fulfilling those desires. Help us to take our eyes off the world and the cares of the world, and help us not to fret. Help us not to be envious. Help us, God, to know that You're our shepherd and we will not want. Because, God, You will fulfill our needs. You will bless us. And You will keep us and give us the desire. Lord, help us to have that earnest, sincere desire to be like Your Son. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.